along with the rhythm of the breathing, anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, is one very familiar, very central kind of practice, particularly for concentration. There are many different methods we can use to focus the attention. Mindfulness of breathing, walking meditation, using the sweeping of the body, moving the attention through the body to notice the different sensations in the different parts of the body. We can also use what is called the inner sound, the nada, the sound of silence, as a meditation object. If we listen closely, for most people in the background of our hearing, you can discern a continuous, high-pitched, ringing tone, a kind of inner white noise, an inner vibration in the background of our hearing. This can also be used as a meditation object. And bring your attention to the faculty of hearing, listening. See if you can discern this inner sound, this sound of silence. If this is something that you can hear, then it can be put to use as a very effective meditation object, both to support concentration, a focusing of attention, and also to support the development of insight. If we can hear this inner sound, use it as a concentration object, is particularly helpful insofar as it's not subject to personal will. You can't make it do anything. The breath is a natural function, but with the mind's decision-making power, you can decide to hold your breath or breathe deeply or in a shallow way or quickly or slowly. Will and intention can be used to change the rhythms of the breathing. But with the inner sound, will has no effect. You can either pay attention to it or not. But I can't do anything with it. So it naturally encourages a quality of receptivity, openness. Helps to unplug the illusion of control, the illusion of a me who's in charge of things. So the mind is attending, focused, listening, but is not in charge. It's not a controller, a doer. So this is a skillful quality, beneficial quality to be developing. We can use the inner sound for what Dhampo Samhita would call for the purpose of being a point which excludes, to focus on that inner sound exclusively. So you're deliberately ignoring everything else, ignoring the other sensations of the body or the thoughts that might arise or sounds that we hear around us, to absorb the attention in that point. The inner listening, that's all. So this is, we call the point which excludes, deliberately shutting everything else out to focus the attention in an exclusive, very focused, particular way to help train the attention to stay with this present moment. When the quality of attention is well established, we've had this community retreat, this group practice now, this is the third day, so perhaps the mind is settling down, getting into the rhythm of more formal practice during the day. So, as and when the ability to focus and sustain attention in the present is stable, steady, well grounded, then we can expand the focus of attention. Rather than being the point which excludes, we can expand, broaden the focus of attention so that it becomes the point which includes, as Lumbo Sumedho would put it. This means opening the attention to receive all the qualities of the present experience. Hearing, feeling, thinking, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. Receiving the entire flow of perceptions, opening the heart to the whole of the perceptual field. And developing the listening to the nada sound, this inner listening can be very supportive, helpful of that. To be a kind of background, like a screen against which all of the other patterns of perception are projected. There's a sensation in the body, there's the nada sound in the background. You hear my voice, there's the nada sound in the background. A memory arises, there's the nada sound in the background. The mind moves towards a plan, forming an intention, what I want to do, what I'm going to do. There's the nada sound in the background. So by developing this inner listening, and the nada sound becomes a kind of constant companion, a screen against which all of the projections of thought and feeling, memory, imagination, emotion, judgments, fears, hopes, smell, taste, touch, vision and sound is all projected. We open our eyes, we see visual forms, another sound is there in the background. Physical sensations of our legs, or our back, our hands, our face, our belly, another sound is there in the background. So this quality of presence, the nada sound there accompanying all of the different patterns of experience, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking, emoting. It supports that quality of recollection, helps the mind to remember, well, this is hearing, this is feeling, this is smelling, this is remembering, imagining. This is an emotion. This is longing. This is fearing. This is resenting. This is delighting. So, developing this inner listening is a way of sharpening the quality of insight. Strengthens vipassana, strengthens the ability of the mind to see through things, to see the empty, transparent nature of all experience. ignorance, avijja, makes the mind believe that every sense experience, every thought, every emotion is solid, permanent, real. This does smell good, this does smell bad, this feels awful, this feels good. I remember, I used to, I will. When the mind is clouded with avijja, not seeing clearly, sense objects seem solid, real, personal. I think, I feel, I smell, I hear, I touch. I want, I don't want. I approve, I disapprove. It seems solid, real, permanent, personal. With vijja, with clear seeing, then the empty nature of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking, remembering, imagining, the empty, transparent nature of all experience, of all consciousness, is apparent. So developing the inner listening helps that quality of emptiness, of transparency, to be realized, to be remembered. It's just a thought. It's just a memory. It's just a feeling. It's just a sound. It's just a visual form. That's all. We chanted the fire sermon this morning, the Adita Pariyaya Sutta. This is a reflection on the six senses, or the dimensions of the six senses. The eye, visual forms. Chakung bhikkhave aditang rupang adita. The eye, visual forms. Eye consciousness, eye contact. Pleasant, painful, and neutral feelings that arise based on eye contact. All the different dimensions of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. All of these different dimensions of the experiential field, the Buddha points out in that teaching, they're burning. Chakung bhikkhave aditang, the eye is burning. Rupang adita, visual forms are burning. Burning with what? With ragagina, burning with passion. Dosagina, with aversion. Mohagina, with delusion. And halfway through that sutta, evang pasang, seeing thus, the wise noble disciple becomes dispassionate towards the eye, visual forms, and the ear and sounds, the nose and smells, the tongue, flavors, the body, physical sensations, the mind, mental objects. Nibindati becomes cool. It sees through them. It knows the transparency, the essential empty nature of all experience. Empty of self and what belongs to a self. It's not me hearing or my eye or my ear, my tongue, my nose, my body, but here's the body, feeling, hearing, this tongue, tasting. Helps the mind to see things in a non-personal way. It's just the patterns of the sense field arising, crystallizing, taking shape, dissolving. There's a pattern, but it's empty. There's a form, but no substance. Well, this is like the reflections on Dhamma and Vinaya, on Vijja and Charana, awareness and action. Yeah, there's a form, there's action, there's the sense world, there's hearing, there's a sound, there's a feeling, there's a memory, an idea, Yes, there's a shape. There's the activity of the world, but it's empty. Sunya. If we dwell too much on the empty side, then we get disconnected, disharmonious with the worldly conditions. The mind focuses too much on the worldly conditions, it forgets the empty, non-personal quality. So developing this vision, seeing both the patterns of experience and attuning to them, and their empty nature, it's like having two eyes. One eye sees everything belongs, the other eyes seeing everything is empty. This gives us a three-dimensional vision. Everything matters, nothing matters. There is the world of form and the laws of nature, but it's all empty. The Dhamma is that quality of seeing through, seeing the empty nature of things. The Vinaya, Charana, activity, is the world of the four elements, the laws of nature, how life operates. With clear vision, then both of those are respected. Like having two eyes enables us to see in three dimensions. One eye sees the empty nature of things, the other eye sees the suchness of things. Together, this is the vision of the Buddha, the Tathagata, thus come, thus gone, totally present, totally transcendent. If we think too much about it, it can create confusion and doubt. But it's not a matter of thinking, but finding that quality of balance, like learning to ride a bicycle. It's not a matter of thinking, it's a matter of getting on the bike and trying. It's a whole body learning. So this quality of embodying vijja and charana, wisdom and action, it's a whole body learning. It's a whole being learning. It's not an idea. It's an attitude. It's a way of seeing. And when we find that, and that balance is found, it's like riding a bicycle. You can go places. Or having two eyes, you can see in three dimensions accurately. Once the heart finds that balance, then there's a whole different way of seeing, a whole different way of being, relating to the world. The attitude radically changes.